trying to hear can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the server, that's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free stake.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. And by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton. Look in my eyes,
what do you see? This is the only live local business and evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. On the HMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter at PCreighton1. Brian McDonald on the other side of the glass at the Mass Controls at Sacked by BMAC. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN975 app, ESPN975.com. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975. Take us with you everywhere you go. Yeah, you know you want to. It's fun. You show off to all your friends. And you always get all the latest dirt on everything going on and what's important in life, which is, of course, sports, where we get away from all the things in life that we don't want to deal with so we can deal with fun things like sports. Now, the Astros have now played three spring training games. And already there are people who want to put people on the roster, get people off the roster, put people into the rotation.
Isn't that the most fun part of spring training every year?
I mean, with three games into spring training, let's put this guy in the roster. Let's make this guy a starter.
Some 4A guy hit two home runs, and all of a sudden, you know, well, he's got to be starting every day.
Well, I've heard some things.
You've heard some things?
Heard some things.
Rumblings from the bushes? What's going on?
Oh, no, no, no. I don't mean like I heard some things like from them. I mean, I've heard some things from people in the media that just kind of make you tip your head and go, huh? Like you just Scooby-Doo at them. They say something and you're like, huh? I did believe I heard somebody talk about putting Ronel Blanco in the rotation.
Ahead of who?
Making him like the sixth guy. Because, you know, he did so great last year that he would get demoted less than a month in.
Yeah, you made a great point the other night. I was listening to you. The Astros, the point you made being their schedule, I mean, they've got, what, like 9 off days in April and May? They don't need a sixth starter until the summer, until it hits June 1st, really. And when that time comes, I mean, I would assume the guy's J.P. France if they're going to promote somebody from the AAA club. His ERA, I believe, was over 4 last year for AAA, but for that division in the Pacific Coast League or whatever it's called, that's actually pretty high up there. That's basically like a 2.5 ERA anywhere else in the
world.
And
he was like in the 2s the second half of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
France had a rough start to the season. So did Sean Dubin. Dubin had a rough start to the season. Dealt with a forearm injury. May and June, he was hideous. Then he missed a month with a forearm injury, which he was pitching through. Came back, and he was just blowing guys away. I mean, he did have like 82 strikeouts in 60 innings last year. I mean, Dubin's got decent stuff. Now, Dubin's 27. France is 27. These are guys the Astros have developed. You know, they've learned to pitch the Astros system. Every one of those guys, either one of those guys could serve as your sixth starter for the months of April and May where you've got a day off every week. Now, you'll play 8 games to start the season, have a day off on Friday. After that, the Astros have a designated off day every Thursday, the entire rest of the month of April, and the entire month of May.
Yeah, you don't need a sixth starter during that time. Or you really don't.
You don't need them to make a lot of starts. Like, I'm fine with the sixth starter. I like the idea of the sixth starter. I don't want guys to have weird pitching alignments. But at the same time, when you have that day off, if you've only played 5 games in a row, you can just skip your sixth starter, go right back to Fromber.
Yeah, that off day essentially serves as the sixth starter.
Yeah, so for the first week of the season, yeah, you need the sixth starter. After that, you don't really need a sixth starter more than maybe 2 times the rest of the next couple of months. So again, the idea of Lance McCullers Jr. missing the early part of the season, if he's going to miss, now is the time to miss. Because you're not condensing the season, 3 weeks of baseball games, down everybody's throat and taking away all the off days. You've got an off day every week for 2 months. You might only need the sixth starter two or three times that whole time. You're not going to go out and get a player for 2 to 3 starts. Maybe. And that's if you even use the full 2 to 3 starts.
Yeah, which obviously echoes back to what Dusty Baker said, I guess it was last week. And why I just found that to be such a weird comment, because have they gone out and signed some free agent, and not like there was a whole lot of great names that they could have got anyway, but even if they had, what is that guy signing on for? He's signing on for, like you said, like 3 starts over April and May? I mean, unless you're sending Hunter Brown down to AAA or sticking him in the bullpen, that guy is not signing on for a role that a veteran would agree to sign on to that role for. And I think we also have to start looking at this Lance McCullers thing. And I know this is kind of a tricky thing to say, but I almost think you have to look at it like it's a blessing in disguise, because obviously you don't want to start the year with him feeling any sort of soreness or tightness or pain or anything. But it's not the UCL. It's not some fear that you're going to have Tommy John all over again. And we have to view McCullers as someone that we don't want throwing 160 innings. We don't want Lance throwing 180 innings, 200 innings, you know, in the best case scenario. I think that he might take a month or two off to begin the season, maybe not tax his arm throughout the regular season as much as he would if he had pitched all year, and be fresher for the postseason is a good thing. And I think we need to start looking at it like that. Now, assuming that he does get healthy enough to start pitching again, you know, in June or July by the latest.
Now, last season, Ronel Blanco pitched in 7 games for the Astros, covering 6 1/3 innings, had a 7.11 ERA and a 1.9 whip, and got demoted.
Not ideal. No, not ideal.
At Sugar Land, he was 4-7. Had a 3.63 ERA and 5 saves, and in 44 appearances, he pitched 44 2/3 innings. Let's make him the starter.
Yeah, someone that clearly hasn't proven. Now, that 3.63 ERA in the PCL is actually not bad. But when you're a reliever, then obviously that skews things. A 3.63 for a starter would be great in that league, but as a reliever, A, that ERA is not great, and B, as you pointed out, 44 appearances, 44 innings. He clearly hasn't been someone that's proven he can be stretched out and have success as a starter.
No, I mean, I'm looking through his career. The last time he started a game was 2019. Results were subpar.
His last start was 2019?
2019. His last start was 2019 for the Tri-City Valley Cats of the New York Penn League.
I was about to guess. That sounds like it's either high A or low A.
And they were more like rehab-type starts, because in the 4 appearances and 2 starts, he threw a total of 5 innings.
Yeah, he's not a starter.
So it was a 1-inning start.
I won't say it's impossible for him to become a starter at some point, but it's not possible for him to be a starter at the beginning of the season. I think if you're going to go with somebody from AAA, it's probably J.P. France.
The other part of it is, usually when you're trying to take a guy and make him a starter, you're looking for a guy who's got more than 2 pitches, has good command, and is probably a younger guy whose arm could, you know, be a little rubbery. Blanco's 29. He is who he is. You're not suddenly going to take a career journeyman, and I mean minor league journeyman, and suddenly turn him into a starter at the major league level. If he could have started, he'd have started in the minors. Like, more recently than 2 1-inning starts at low A in a league that doesn't even exist anymore. But hey, I mean, Jeremy Branham knows everything, and, you know, what do I
know? Oh, is that what this whole thing was? You going full Cody Stoots and starting the show with an attack on Jeremy?
You know, Jeremy likes to you know, say crazy stuff.
He likes to be, he likes to take the opposite side of the popular opinion,
he
I would say.
The opposite side of the logical opinion.
Okay, that's another step. Yeah, that's another step.
He likes to take the opposite side of anything that makes any sense whatsoever. But
are you referencing his Will Levis opinions?
That's you could write a book on all the bad take, you could write like a bad take Branham book. And Levis would be like its own chapter. There's so much material. He says some wacky.
So, look, so when you say people are saying Blanco should be a starter to start the season, the people, in quotes, is Jeremy Branham?
Possibility, yeah.
Okay, all right, that's fair. Yeah. I guess that's not overly surprising, as we pointed out. Jeremy, and I love Jeremy, but he does like to take the least popular side at times, seemingly on purpose.
Hey, you know, Blanco pitched well in the Dominican Winter League. He had 19 games, and he threw 20 and two-thirds innings.
Yeah, he's not a starter, but, or at least hasn't shown it.
You know, I think Jeremy grabbed a quote from Dana Brown. Was like, "Well, let's see if we can stretch him out." Like, sometimes you got to know when the GM is joshing you.
Well, not only that. I mean, we see this in all sports. It's not just baseball. But when you're early in the season, or you're in spring training or training camp or whatever it is, and you ask the GM or the coach about a certain player, every player has a chance to do something. I mean, how many times do you get somebody saying, "Oh no, that guy, he can't help us this year." That quote doesn't happen.
Sometimes
everybody has a chance to help the team at this point in the year. That's what they always say.
You gotta know when your GM is blowing smoke.
100%.
All right, and this is a four-alarm fire smoke.
It always used to make me laugh when we would hear Bill O'Brien talk about every player on the 53-man roster being the first one in and the last one to leave.
Everybody.
I mean, I didn't know that was possible.
That's a big doorway.
They're all coming in at the same time.
Big
and
doorway.
Leaving at the same time.
Everybody squeeze in.
You got a 100-foot-wide doorway because you got to fit the entire team through it.
You'd think they're all rushing into Walmart on Black Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know how that one goes, but. Ronel Blanco is not going to be the sixth starter, especially when you consider the fact
it
wouldn't even be possible to stretch him out in time for the start of the season. The same as Michael Brantley is not going to be a regular first baseman.
No, he's taken – I think you also made this point the other night when I was listening, but – He probably is just taking grounders at first base, one, because outfielders do have to field grounders at time, and two, if he's not ready to throw, then at least he's getting some baseball-type activity to warm up and ramp up after taking, obviously, a lot of half the season off last year with the injury?
That's exactly it. He's not able to throw yet. I mean, you remember late in the season, they were talking about Michael Brantley playing catch. By catching the ball, then taking the glove off, and then underhanding it back with the same hand.
So he's
because
Jeff
he couldn't throw. I mean, so the fact that he's taking grounders at first, and look, if you've watched the video, it's not like he's taking grounders at first and then, you know, running the 3-6-3 double play. He takes the grounder and he tosses the ball in a bucket. Or he tosses the ball to the guy next to him who throws it back down. He's not throwing the ball around. He's just doing some busy work.
Sounds like 2005 Jeff Bagwell.
So, you know, again, the hope is Brantley's bat will be ready March 30th because it really is looking like he will not be ready to play the field by then. Your hope is bat is ready by then. If he can at least hit, he's useful. Otherwise, starts on the IL.
And be honest, I mean, you signed Brantley for his bat. You're not even when Brantley was first on this team. His first season was 2019? Is that correct? I think it was 2019. But regardless of when it was, even back then, you signed Brantley because he was a guy that could hit over 300. He was that guy that had a little bit of pop and, you know, good plate discipline, could drive in some runs. You never signed Brantley even when he was 3-4 years younger initially because of his glove, because of his athletic prowess in the outfield. So if he's just able to be a DH right now, I don't have a problem with that.
No, I mean, look, realistically, Jordan's a better fielder than Michael Brantley is right now today. And I don't mean based on injury. I mean, if they're both completely healthy, Jordan is a better fielder than Michael Brantley is today. So, you know, Michael Brantley was not expected to play, quote, the lion's share of left field. It was going to be a pretty even split when Brantley was ready to play. Brantley's not ready to play. Well, the loser of the Jake Myers, Chaz McCormick battle in center field will see some extra time in left. Or we'll push the other guy to left, however that winds up working out, because I'm pretty sure that Jake Myers will always play center. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's the third day of spring training. I said the most important thing is making sure guys aren't A, hurt, and B, that they're on time. And on time means the bat is ready, the arm is ready, they look like they're ready to go, haven't had setbacks, they're not having an awful spring where they couldn't hit a beach ball on a tee, right? On time. For the most part, look, Lance McCullers is hurt. Jordan is not on time. Michael Brantley is not on time. Everybody else, so far, so good. Although, Jose Altuve did go 0 for 3 with not one, not two, but three strikeouts today.
Panic alarm.
Panic alarm. People are panicking. I got like 20 DMs today on Jose Altuve. I'm like, it's not even March yet. You're not talking to me about Jose Altuve panic, and the calendar has not yet turned to March. We are not having that conversation. Now, that being said, a couple of Astros minor league guys, some of the prospects, were in the game today, and we'll hear from them next.
Is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
I mean, I don't want to take too many shots at Jeremy because I feel like it's picking on a three-year-old. But he is the person last year who said Jose Altuve was on the downside and washed. That did happen.
That's an exact quote. I didn't hear that one.
He basically said JJ. He said Jose Altuve was basically washed. And I remember Joel gave him so much grief about that.
Altuve's second half pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't suck.
I'm not trying to defend Branham here, but I also didn't hear the quote. But Altuve did have a slow start. Not Kyle Tucker slow, because nobody starts slow like Kyle Tucker. But Altuve certainly turned it on in the second half.
Yeah, they wanted Kyle Tucker demoted on that show last year, too.
Okay, I didn't hear that either.
Yeah. Stuff gets said. Stuff gets said. And you can only laugh. You're going to have a lot of fun, though, talking about stuff getting said. Hanging out with us, playing golf. Ditch a day of work and come play some golf with us here at ESPN 97.5. It's the Occasional Invitational presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting kids' meals. This year's tournament takes place Wednesday, March 8th, 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer gets beverages from Carbach Brewing, lunch from Mendocino Farms, dinner, 18 holes of golf, and a limited edition ESPN t-shirt. Register now, ESPN975.com. Now, Justin Durden has been the darling of Astros' 3 days of spring training so far because, well, he's 3 for 3 with a pair of homers. Durden now 25, finished last year in Sugar Land. Yeah, you know, had a pretty good season last year. He can play all three outfield positions, but he's been playing mostly center field. Here's Justin Durden talking about his preseason thus far.
Feels good. Feels good to come in and really show Dusty at front office, you know, the whole staff, kind of what I can do, you know, how hard I've been working in the offseason and what I can do up to this point.
What you've been working on in the offseason?
Offseason, a lot of machine work, really being able to stay on top of the ball, a lot of hot velo stuff, you know, really seeing that ball kind of rise and staying on top of that so I can put some good swings on.
Point of pride that you hit one oppo, you pulled one, kind of using all fields. Is that a point of pride for you?
I mean, a little bit, I guess. You know, I go up there just thinking about hitting the ball hard, putting a good swing on the ball, and wherever it goes, you know, it goes.
Now, Durden finished last season, like I said, at AAA. He finished last season as the number 11 prospect in the Astros system, according to MLB.com. And he didn't have a whole lot of at-bats at AAA. But he's another one of these guys, you know, a little bit of a late bloomer. I think they gave him like a nothing bonus. They signed him as a undrafted fifth-year senior. And he's a guy who was developed in that system. So is he a guy who could maybe be injury relief later on in the season? Yeah, later on.
Someone that starts the year at AAA and then maybe gets called up?
Yeah.
Is that what you're hinting at?
He's got to get more at-bats at AAA. He didn't even play a whole month at AAA.
Yeah, I didn't get to see his home runs, so you'll have to tell me if you have this in front of me. But do you know who he hit the home runs off of? Was it anybody notable?
Today he homered off of Eli Villalobos.
Okay, Villalobos. So answer Eli is Villalobos. No. See, I don't want to get too excited when, because we just talked about this in the last segment with getting excited about guys when it's still February and not even March yet. As you mentioned, guys a little bit older, you don't hear a lot of really top-level MLB baseball players go to a fifth year in college, late developer. And if he's hitting home runs, it's great. And maybe, like you said, maybe the best case scenario is an injury replacement in the summer or even later. But if he's not hitting home runs off of guys I've heard of, and he's kind of, I would say, old for the level, 25 feels a little old for AAA if you're going to be considered an everyday player, then I kind of want to hold off on my excitement for a little while.
J.J. Mattejewicz also homered off of former Red Sox pitcher Matt Barnes.
Oh, I didn't really even realize Matt Barnes was still kicking around.
But again, it's the third game of spring training.
And that's the other point. I mean, even if it was off of somebody notable, there's a good chance that guy's just working on stuff. He's not even really trying to strike you out at that point. He's trying to work on the feel for his changeup or the spin for his curveball or whatever it is. And he's not necessarily trying to, I think you'll remember this, but I think people were a little hesitant when they called Lance up on his rehab restart last year because his numbers in AAA weren't all that great. He was giving up 5 runs, 4 runs, but he made the point, and it turned out to be true because he had a good time. He had a good showing when he got called back up. That he was just working on stuff. He was trying to get the feel, the shape right, and just get his stamina back up. And so, even if he had hit home runs, Durden, that is, off of someone notable, I don't know if it would matter being the first start for that pitcher in spring.
No, he pinch hit in the 8th inning for Ablai Madris.
Okay.
Who was acquired in the offseason basically as additional depth. You know, he's organizational depth. He'll start the year at Sugar Land. And, you know, if they have injuries or things like that, he's a guy who might be in the mix for a potential temporary call-up while a guy is out. You know, but that's Madris, that's his role. His role is to hit at Sugar Land, and if they need to call him up, come up and be serviceable while you're here. That's your job. Now, Forrest Whitley got the, quote, start today. He went 2 innings. Gave up 4 hits, 2 earned runs, did not walk anybody, struck out 2, allowed a home run. But again, it's the first game he's pitching of spring training. He threw 35 pitches. Here's Forrest Whitley.
I think getting over that adjustment period last year in AAA really, really helped today. And then also just all the preparation that I did this offseason really made today go by really, really smoothly, I thought. So I was happy with it.
How do you feel about just all your stuff and how you executed today?
It was okay. I threw a lot of strikes. I filled it up mostly. The only difference is I would probably throw different pitches in different counts, and that's it.
Is your arm slot a little lower?
Yeah, it's a little lower.
Yeah, what's kind of the purpose behind that?
Velocity is a little bit higher, honestly. Yeah. I'm able to get a little more horizontal movement on my two-seam, and then things just kind of work a little bit better from down there. I feel like I can throw more strikes.
What were you at today, velocity-wise?
I have no idea. Hopefully good.
Did it feel good, though?
Yeah, I felt really good. Like I said, I felt surprisingly loose out there. I wasn't as nervous for the first spring outing compared to the last few. I feel like I could take a lot of good things from today.
Now, look, we all hope that Forrest Whitley is over the multitude of injuries he has had to deal with. And I hope that he gets back on track, and I hope he has a really good year at AAA, because Forrest Whitley needs a full season at AAA of success before you are ever thinking about bringing him up to the majors. So for all the people who think that Forrest Whitley could potentially be on the Astros to start the season at some point in the first, hell, at any point this season, Forrest Whitley is going to spend the entire season at AAA, assuming he is successful at AAA. If he has an unbelievable, ungodly season, maybe he's a September call-up. Maybe. He needs to have some sustained success. He also needs to have some sustained playing of baseball. He has to not get hurt. He has to take the ball every fifth day. Or every sixth day, as it might be.
I mean, you're right. Forrest Whitley shouldn't be viewed any more than a lottery ticket at this point. He's obviously someone that the franchise and fans saw with great promise and hope before. He was, I believe, what, a top 10 overall prospect? He was pretty high up there. But injuries, obviously, these suspensions completely derailed his career. I think you hit it. The best case scenario is he makes two starts at the end of the season like Hunter Brown did last year. And that's if he dominates like Hunter Brown did. You're going to have to see a sustained period of success. I mean, it's not enough to have, you know, 2, 3, 4 starts in a row where he looks all right. He's got to dominate and look like the former top overall prospect for the franchise looked in the past, the prospect he thought he was. And at that point, he does that over the entire course of the season. Then maybe you call him up at the end of the season, get a couple starts, maybe talk about using him as a bullpen option in the postseason if he proves it over the full season. But there's still a lot of time to remain before they'd even get close to making that decision.
All right, coming up next, straight out of the Dirty Jersey, our buddy Sean Higgs from Picks and Parlays has the two things you want: college hoops and money. Get to it next.
You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical Rx, and by Dr. Christo Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
You know, conference tourney time, right before the NCAA tournament, conference tourney time, this is when 95% of sports fans suddenly find Jesus and realize college basketball is on. I need to start paying attention, because how am I going to gamble if I'm not paying attention? Well, luckily for you, we have a friend who's going to teach you exactly who's worth betting on, why they're worth betting on, starting right now. This is my buddy Sean Higgs from Picks and Parlays. He's the host of Midday Money on Picks and Parlays on winningfreepicks.com. What's up, Higgsy? How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. I love the whole Dirty Jersey intro. I love it. I'll never, as much as I could, yes, sir, I mean, no, and no, man, yes, man, here, I will always be a outsider.
It's all right, man. We're a pair of Northeasterners here who, I say, well, man, I've been down here 10 years, and I will tell you, it was culture shock when I first moved down here, but in a good way, man. I wish I had moved down here 10 years before I did. I love it down here. When I first moved down here, I had the thought process of, I'll hang out down here for a year or two, go back up north. Dude, it took me like 3 months. I was like, oh, hell no, I'm never going back. Never going back.
I feel the same. I think the kids are going to swing up for a little spring break up there. I'm staying. I'm not going.
Y'all can go. I never said y'all until I moved down here. Now all of a sudden it's become part of the lexicon. But I haven't adopted Fixin' to yet. That one I just can't process. But the y'all has replaced the you and the yous, mainly because when I said things like yous, people looked at me like, what?
And the fixing has definitely not taken effect. But y'all, my daughter's a big y'all. I still got the yous going.
Yeah, every time I said,
I don't think that'll leave for a while.
People would just look at me like, was that English? And, you know, rather than argue with them over all their lexicon, I was just like, okay, let me, like, y'all. You all of you. Oh, yeah. So just easier that way. But I know you're been doing this now. What, 18 years, 20 years?
Yeah, longer. Yes, I'm doing like the sites with winning for picks, picks and parlays since 2004, 2005. You know, and betting since what, the 90s. You know, high school. You know, long time.
Back when you had to know a guy to know a guy to bet.
Exactly. No in gaming, no on your phone. You called some random number, no halftime bets. It didn't work that way. It's the spoiled generation of sports bettors nowadays. And don't get me started on these bad beat refunds. What a joke.
If you know, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. If you're not willing to take the risk, don't lay the money down. We got lots of college basketball coming up. We are getting towards conference tournaments as we get closer to the NCAA tournament. But got a big game coming up in about 20 minutes, Baylor and Oklahoma State. What do you like about that game?
Well, I like it. One, it's a game where I think everyone, the newer people are betting, are going to jump on your Baylors, right? You see a big ranked team. And this is something you see a lot of this year, but this is something not just for college basketball, college football. Unranked, home teams versus ranked teams. It's an auto play for me. I don't care that Oklahoma State lost four in a row, and they've been Jekyll and Hyde the last month or so. You got Baylor in off a big win over Texas. Their guards out, where that George, 16, 17 points a game. That's a big blow. They're 4-5 on the road. So teams lose on the road in college basketball, no matter how good they are. So I'm taking a desperate Oklahoma State team here. It's one, call it a pick 'em. I think they went outright, and you got to look at little spots like this where if you think it's easy, well, it usually is. You know, you never grab that low-hanging fruit. Eve tried that, and she's doomed the world. Don't grab the low-hanging fruit. It's evil. Stay away. It's a loser.
Other game coming up in about 20 minutes. Big Sky Conference, Montana State and Eastern Washington. I know that was a game that you had said to me you had a play on.
Yes, I got Montana here. Now, but these guys are locked into their spots. Eastern Washington, very good. They're coming off a loss, and one of their guards didn't play. Sat out, hurt. As of before, they weren't even sure if he was going to play tonight. They had won 18 in a row before this loss. A monster 17-3 ATS run going back to, like, Thanksgiving. Good team. You know, they played on New Year's Eve, and it was a three-point shot, probably about, like, 20 seconds left. UW pulled out the win. But I'm grabbing Montana. Give me the Bobcats, Montana State. OT game, a three-point game, another four-point game when these guys play. They're probably going to face each other, opposite sides of the bracket when that comes out. They'll face each other in a week or so, 10 days, whenever they face each other in the Big Sky final. But I'm going to take the Bobcats here as basically a pick 'em as well.
Talking with Sean Higgs, Picks and Parlays, winningfreepicks.com. Been calling. He's been picking games since the 90s. Did so well that he was able to actually quit his job and do this full time. You're doing pretty good if you can actually quit your job and make more money. So I give you a lot of credit because, yeah, I couldn't do that. So
it's not. Here's the thing: people think you're it's raining money on top of you. It's not. It is a grind. You hit bumps. You lose a little bit. You have to be able to better forget it. You got to just grind on and. You know, you see the sites, you see it on TikTok and Twitter, Instagram, everybody puts up these giant parlay winners. Listen, be happy with a day's pay, folks. Don't fall into these fantasy lottery ticket stuff. You go to work, be happy with a day's pay. But you got to change your whole mindset when it comes to this. This isn't lottery. It's not, wow, this guy hit a 17-legger. That's not real. That is the total, total outlier.
Well, Sean, we got we got some conference tourneys starting, some of the smaller conferences. The Atlantic Sun Conference actually starts tonight. They got some games going on tomorrow. I know one of them you're interested in, which is Stetson and Lipscomb. But they got four games going on tomorrow. Let's take a look at that Lipscomb-Stetson game, which is tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. What do you like about that game as far as a play? And are there any other games right now in that A-Sun quarterfinal round that you're looking at?
Yeah, so I like the Stetson Hatters here. So you're a little fave, and in the A-Sun, smaller conferences, folks, they're going to play in their own home court. You see that a lot in smaller schools. It's not like they're Big East teams and ACC and all these things. They'll be on their home court. So we get Stetson at home. These guys played some OT games, each winning on their own courts this year. 98-91 Lipscomb won, 86-80 Stetson. Again, it's a close matchup, two teams familiar with each other. I was playing overtime games. But for me, the edge here is with Stetson. I got great free throw shooting. And this time of year, I'm sure people know this. Everybody's lost games on those, you know, you lose by a point and a half point. Like, oh, my goodness. I lose those that go straight to the free throws. Who killed me here? I got a team with starters. Everybody's hitting over 82%. That's money in my pocket. I'm happy. I got a three-point bonanza coming in with three guys on this team. I got one guy hitting like almost 50%. Panzo, I got this other guard to 46, 42%. I'm taking him here. Home, revenge off the fresh loss. It's a two. You want a money line it. I understand. Give me Stetson. And maybe the plus 1,500 for the conference tournament, why not take a shot? Liberty's the favorite. They are the two seed at a 220 fave, which says a lot considering that Kennesaw is the top seed. And they're plus 400, and they have home court. But they beat Liberty head-to-head. Kennesaw, to me, they have. I think Queens wins tonight. I think they'll be in a little dogfight tomorrow with Queens-Kennesaw. Maybe they get knocked off. Who knows? Give me Stetson at the plus 1,500 here as a wild one. I just don't like taking a minus as a big fade there. If you like Kennesaw, I get it, but I'm thinking Stetson maybe pull something off here special. I'm relying on my three-point guys to get hot.
Oh, we got look. There's lots of these smaller conferences tomorrow. The Sun Belt has their first round. They had Arkansas State and Coastal Carolina. You also have Georgia State and Texas State. Either of those games pique your interest as far as a play?
Yeah, you got this. Is like the bottom of the conference here. You had a Georgia State team who. I mean, they dropped 9 of 10 straight up and against the spread. Texas State, again, 3 of 7 coming into this thing. You don't have to bet it because it's a conference game or a tournament game or it's on TV, and that's any sport. That's number one rule there. So these two games really don't excite me much. Maybe I lean a little Arkansas State. They beat them already this year by a pretty decent number, and Coastal comes in losing 9 of 10. But, again, I don't know if I'll be invested in that too much. That's not where I want to go. Future-wise here, I'll look at maybe Lafayette. I like their inside-out. They got a nice little combo there, plus 330. And South Alabama has a 8 seed, plus $9, I kind of like.
All right, so those are your plays for the Sun Belt. What else we get into the Horizon League?
Yes.
Now, tomorrow, you got IUPUI and Rob Marzis. Green Bay and Wright State, Purdue Fort Wayne, and Detroit Mercy. Any of those games pop at you?
I'm already on a little Purdue. Indiana Purdue is a team. I think they're going to get rid of their basketball team in total this year. I think this is the final year their basketball team they've been so bad. That being said, they are 18-11 against the number. They've covered 6 of 10, like 9 of the last 14. Very good covering machine because they get double digits every game. And in conference tournament time, you're going to give me 14 points from Robert Morris. I will say thank you, and I'll take an extra scooping of them there. They actually beat these guys just a couple days ago, beat them outright as a 10-point home dog. They won by 6. You know, I'll take double digits here. They beat them. Maybe we're going to go out on a high note. Give me IUPUI here. It's ugly, but sometimes you got to hold your nose and just bet that ugliness. I wake up every day, see my face. I'm used to being ugly. Let's go. And as opposed to like some of these other ones, you know, Fort Wayne, Detroit, not loving it. And I Wright State, I just can't lay 20 points. Laying 20 points to me is not a long-term moneymaker, in my opinion here. So got to stay away from that. And if you're looking for a bet for the title here, you know, the Penguins,
they're your favorites here. They're 145. I'm going to look a little further down the line. 145 is not enough to, you know, to whet my appetite here. You know, you got Northern Kentucky, who won in 2017, 2019, 2020, runner-up last year. You know, you want to look over there, wonderful. Wright State plus, you know, 900. They're the two seed based on tie-breaking kind of status, but they're, you know, worse odds-wise than you have with Northern Kentucky and Cleveland State. But I still think Northern Kentucky at plus 470 will probably be my favorite there for if I want to do a big bet in that conference for a winner.
All right, Sean, about a minute left. Let's get to the Patriot Conference. First round, you got Bucknell and American, Holy Cross and Loyola Maryland. Any of these games stick to you, and who do you like to win this conference?
Yeah, so we'll just start with winning a conference. You have it's Colgate and everybody else. They went 17-1. They're 225 to win it. If you wanted, I guess maybe you could think about taking. I don't want to lay 225, but let's be honest, they're going to win it. I don't think anybody really challenges them. And that might actually be a value only laying 225 there. And tomorrow, I kind of like a little Bucknell, believe it or not, there. 6.5. I'm not sure if I'm going to bet it or not. It is what it is. Sometimes, again, like I say, you could pass games. You don't have to play them all. And there's a lot of action. I got some other games. You know, we mentioned a few here. And you know, again, lean a little Bucknell, but we'll see if I pull the trigger. We got time. We don't have to rush into that.
He's the host of Midday Money. You can find it at winningfreepicks.com, picks and parlays. He is Sean Higgs. Follow him on Twitter at Mr. Sean Higgs. Sean, always appreciate your time, my friend. We'll catch up again soon.
Sounds good, Pat. Thank you.
I appreciate you. Sean Higgs, Picks and Parlays, winningfreepicks.com. Host of Midday Money. You want to get the lowdown every day on what games you want to put a little fun on to have a little cash coming your way. It's a good place to go get it. Late Hits.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical Rx, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Now, I understand, as a Gen Xer, that I'm not necessarily hip and cool to all of the millennial whateverisms. But every time I see on Twitter, like I see a person trending, I'm always like, oh my God, are they dead? Like, why is this person trending? Are they dead?
Yeah, I've had that thought quite a few times where I'll see, you go to the trending section, you see a celebrity name, we're like, oh damn, did we lose one?
So, Pete Davidson is trending.
Okay, Pete Davidson trends for a different reason.
One of those reasons could be that he's dead.
It could be, but most of the time it's because he's sleeping with some other Hollywood starlet that we can't believe that he's actually getting with, and we all have to ask ourselves, what does he have?
So, and this is part of the question,
other than
right?
money and fame.
Pete Davidson is legitimately one of the ugliest MFs walking the planet.
That's the question we ask ourselves.
He then does his best to make himself uglier.
You're talking about the tattoos?
The tattoos, the whatever the hell he shaved his head, colored his head, unshaved. Nose ring in the, like, five different nose rings. He does his best to look as ugly as possible.
You know what I think it is? And this reference is gonna date me a little bit. But do you remember this? You watch Seinfeld, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember the
20
Seinfeld?
Years ago.
Yeah, of course. But there was a Seinfeld episode where George had this girlfriend that was a model, and he had a picture of the model, and that got him into the club, so to speak.
Right.
Because this hot girl has accepted him, all the other hot girls would accept him as well. But once he tried to get back into the club with like a photo that he cut out of the magazine, it didn't work anymore. So I think that kind of the same situation here with Pete Davidson, where he dated Ariana Grande. I'm not sure what Ariana saw in him, but...
Well, she has mental health issues, doesn't she?
I'm not touching that. But she let him into the club.
I wonder if he's the reason she has mental health issues.
Possibly. But once she let him into the club, the society of attractive women all decided, okay, Pete Davidson is acceptable. Maybe he's got the bad boy image. Maybe he's because he's funny. Whatever. he's now been accepted into that, and every week he's dating someone else that we have to ask, how in the world did they decide to date Pete Davidson?
So apparently he is dating someone named Ice Spice.
Yeah, she's a rapper.
I had to look up to see if she was a Spice Girl. Because I was like, she'd be a little old for him, wouldn't she? I mean, that's, well, she'd have to be like in her 40s or 50s,
right? Well, he did date Kim Kardashian, who was in her 40s.
I'm not even, you know.
I'm just
there
saying.
There is nothing good that I could say there other than I hope he had a good supply of penicillin.
Well, you went ahead and said it, but I'm glad you had a little bit of control there.
So,
but no, she's not part of the. She's not a.
She's
Posh
not a Spice
Girl or Baby
from
Spice
the 90s.
Or
yeah.
one of the other
she's
Spices.
Not Posh Spice or Sporty Spice or Scary Spice.
Baby Spice.
Yeah,
Ginger
she's not
Spice.
One of them.
I think that's the fifth one. Ginger Spice. We named them all.
Yeah, but that's, so I didn't know
I'm
who she
sure
was.
I'm not sure if we should be proud of that or not, but it happened.
Well, listen, Eminem said he wanted to impregnate a Spice Girl. That's how we all learned about who they were.
Okay.
So apparently he's dating this. Girl's like 23, and she's a rapper. As a Gen Xer, I've never heard of her before. Not a surprise. But this is trending. I have a whole giant cup of who gives a bleep over this.
I think
this.
A
Why
lot of people have reached that point with Pete Davidson. I agree with that. Like, as someone who watches SNL every time it's on and new and not a rerun – I did actually find some of the things Pete Davidson did on there to be funny, especially some of the music videos he would record. But it's certainly kind of jumped the shark, so to speak. I mean, at first it was
look
like,
at
oh,
you're the Happy Days reference.
Yes, yeah. I mean, well, I think that reference has now gone beyond Happy Days. But yes, it is originally a Happy Days reference. But at first it was like, oh, Pete Davidson's dating Ariana Grande. Good for him. Like, I didn't think he could pull that. Oh, he's dating this woman, now he's dating Kim Kardashian. I didn't know he could pull that. Good for him. But now it's like, okay. You know what I mean? It's just, it feels like it's another name every other day, and I just don't care anymore.
I feel like the only reason he should be trending is if he's dead.
Well, I mean, I think you're saying that as someone who wasn't a fan of his work on SNL. That's fine. You don't have to be.
I mean, I didn't think his work was so bad that I wanted him to fall in a ditch. I guess I don't see. It's not like, I love this guy. He's
kind of a nobody. He's not a once a generational talent at comedy, but at the same time, he's got at least one more reason to trend other than passing away.
Got a face tattoo.
Okay, yeah, Mike Tyson did that once too, but yeah, Pete Davidson could be trending for that.
Yeah, so I just. Like I said, I thought, like, oh my God, is he dead? Ted Cruz is trending. Is he dead?
Okay, well, I don't want to say something.
No, he
try not to get political.
He just went to Cancun again. That's
so
all.
Did another Astros fan throw a White Claw at him? Is that why he's trending?
He's trending.
Which has to be one of my favorite videos of all time. Celebrating the World Series title and also throwing White Claws at Ted Cruz.
Apparently,
it's a great afternoon.
He's trending apparently for a whole lot of reasons, but basically there's a bunch of tweets that have Ted Cruz, the 45th president of the United States, in the same tweet.
No, thank you.
And videos of him being called inappropriate for radio names at baseball games.
Well, it is February, so it is time for him to run off to a Caribbean country.
So, Ted Cruz, not dead. Trending, but not dead. Pete Davidson, not dead.
Maybe that could be a new segment. They're trending.
Are they dead?
I'll have Patrick guess if they're dead or not.
Who's trending? Are they dead? Nick! It really is my lack of understanding of how the interwebs are all connected.
I think I guess that by the use of the word interwebs.
The interwebs.
That's usually a dead giveaway.
Ben Simmons is trending. Is he dead?
No, but his jump shot is.
Jump shot was never born.
Okay, nah, that's fair.
Apparently he has been ruled out of the game tomorrow night against the Bucks and could miss even more time with knee soreness. Simmons hurt.
I'll respond to that the same way you responded to Pete Davidson. Who cares?
Yeah, pretty much. Is he another guy? Oh, he's hurt again. He's hurt again. One last one. Dan Snyder trending.
I think there's people in the greater Washington D.C. area that would be hoping that you were right on that.
I think there's 31 owners in the NFL.
Yeah, they might be wishing for that.
This is Late Hits.